Let's get this party started.
This is Ghetto.
Broadcasting live from the studios of AM 570.
It's on a website.
This is FNA.
Man, get out my way and watch out as I come.
I am a god, now what?
Why don't you get out of that jumpsuit and let me smack that fat ass?
That's a scary crew.
As far as the product goes,
voice of a new generation, man. You guys are the young guys.
Are really at the top of their games.
The two of them had something in common.
We bring you Radio Ecstasy.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Broadcasting live from the studios of AM 570.
FNA.
FNA.
Let it happen.
This is the FNA Podcast.
It's the FNA Podcast on a Monday. On a we got it. I know we got it. We got time.
Now, I am not here to get my ass beat on Monday.
Okay, we got time today, Tuesdays. Not here to get our ass
beat on Monday. It gets very confusing. I know the days and times we do the show.
We don't normally do Mondays. It's been a while.
We don't. It's been a long time.
We've been on a Tuesday kick, but it's good to have you guys with us. I'm Adam Oslin. He's Kevin Figures. He's a KFig One. I'm at Follow Adam A at FNA Show at Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Got the Talk Yes hotline as well, 949-478-1197. I believe we have some voicemails to get to.
Okay, good. On the back end as well, we'll get to a video game fact. Heard you got robbed. We'll tell you what that means, but before any of that, we have one of our favorites. He is the third member of the FNA Podcast in some ways. It's our friend Bob Schmidt.
Hear ye, hear ye. It's time for the NBA Roundtable on the FNA Podcast with Bob Schmidt.
What about Bob? The voice of AM 570, the voice of Fox Sports Radio. I thought he did Jack FM for a while. I was wrong about that one. But, Bob, good to have you back in for a little NBA roundtable.
Good to be back, Adam, Kevin. It's a pleasure.
So, not a lot of time. We got to dig in quickly. Should we start with the early game yesterday and then get to the meat and potatoes?
Sounds good.
So, I got one question for you. After that game and that series, does anything change with your opinion on Giannis? And I'm assuming maybe you already had him as the best player in the world coming off of what happened last year in the finals.
Yeah,
is he still the best player in the world?
To me, yeah. I mean, you can't. It's only a year ago. Like, one of the most frustrating things for me is, like, you know, I've been listening to a lot of radio the last couple of weeks and hearing people talk about how terrible the Lakers are and their situation. And this is a team who's been terrible for 9 years. It's like, guys, it's 2 years ago. They won a title.
It's not even. It's 2 years in October. It's a year and a half ago.
And it's a sort of the same mentality of people who are like, okay, well, they lost to Tatum playing out of his goddamn mind and a very good Celtics team. It doesn't diminish what I think of Giannis at all. And especially when you consider the fact that he's doing it without Middleton.
Yep.
They took it to seven games, you know? Yeah, they're not going back to the finals, but the team they were facing is a very good team. There's no shame in losing to that squad.
Forget. I don't. Is there a narrative out there that Giannis is somehow overrated or not good anymore?
No,
that's been going around.
Just
the last...
some have dropped him down a peg. Okay, maybe he's not the best player in the world
it's so
right
stupid.
Now.
I hate when people do that. A guy has a good postseason run, and all of a sudden he's the best player in the NBA. That's the dumbest thing I've ever. I heard this about Dwayne Wade back in 2005 or 2006 when the Heat beat the Mavericks in the finals, and all of a sudden he's the best player in the league.
Average 37.
See,
but 18 free throws per game in the last four.
He had a great NBA final series, and he was a great player. And he is he was one of the best of all time. But just because you had a great run doesn't necessarily make you the best player in the league. You have to sustain it.
And now you see, like, we're going to see that with what's happening with Luka, too, where it's just such a short memory of the last guy who was tremendous.
Right, that's what it is.
Immediately it's like, well, this other guy was better this postseason, or is having more success this postseason, so he's left you. And it's like,
you think someone calling him Gyro Greg Ostertag is a little bit too far?
Someone actually did that?
Oh, Jesus.
So get his ass out of here. And
someone's trying for clickbait on that.
Yeah. I agree with you about Middleton. I think people are realizing the importance of he was great last year, especially
late.
In big moments. I mean, he had a 40-point game
and
in
late
the
in
NBA
the game,
Finals
too.
As well. Because he can create for himself. He's a three-level scorer. He doesn't get to the basket as much. But that mid-range, the outside shooting, he was big. And Boston's defense is incredible.
Yeah. Well, and on top of that, the guy who's filling a lot of the minutes, like with Grayson Allen out there, he gave basically nothing. to get all that you got out of the role players in the second half from the Celtics, Grant Williams, was unbelievable.
Allen was a fucking disaster after they put him in. And this is more on Bud to me than Giannis, who did struggle in the second half. He went 4 for 16, but he looked gassed and he was trying to do it all. Drew Holiday was really bad in the first half.
Look what he did in game six, Giannis did. I mean, my God.
But Bud put in Grayson Allen. He started over Bobby Portis for, I think, the majority of the series. And after he got in there as the starter, he missed 13 of his first 15 threes. I think it was even worse than that. That was just throughout or through the first half of yesterday's game. Grayson Allen, he airballed a shot badly.
Yeah.
He was a wreck.
Yeah, no, he was terrible. And I will say, I didn't have a problem with them moving Portis to the bench in the sense that I think the guy, that guy specifically, consistently looks confident and brings energy. Even when they found themselves down, I'm like, well, the one guy who doesn't seem to be wilting in terms of trying to make an impact is Portis. Not to say that the shots would always go down, but I have no problem with playing him off the bench. It was just frustrating, you know, because so much of the first half, it was such a good game, and then they came out in the second half, and everybody stepped back. Like, Lopez's impact became less. Giannis's impact became less, and even Holiday. I thought Holiday was solid, but it's just, you know, you couldn't have all the role guys for the Celtics surging and still keep it close.
And maybe part of it is it's less about what the Bucks didn't do and more about what Boston did do, hitting 22 three-pointers. That was the most, I think, in a Game 7 ever. Lord knows it wasn't the Houston Rockets when they missed 27 straight a few years back. Like, yeah. They were so hot from the outside.
And Milwaukee made, what, 4?
Yeah, and they were insanely
cold. You can't lose
cold.
22-4 in three-pointers and expect to be competitive.
Make or miss league to some degree.
Although I will say Grant Williams was left open fairly often. It's not like he was making a bunch of contested shots or anything.
But well, you gotta make your choice to some degree. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I will say, like, credit to Williams, because at least in the early part of the game, things weren't necessarily going his way as much.
Yeah, he missed like what, 5 of his first 7 threes or something like that.
And then and he was getting, he got the offensive foul that didn't go his way, where they call, and then it just started to turn towards the end of that first half, and in the second half, it
just
was ridiculous.
Blew the doors off of it.
With them hitting threes like that, with Giannis going 4 of 16 in the second half, and throughout the entire series, I guess the Celtics ended up hitting 53 more three-pointers than the Milwaukee Bucks.
He's on fire!
But, I mean, we can stop with that game right here because we got better things to do. But this will at least tell you that it will be the fifth straight season that there is a different NBA champion. The first time there's been a streak that long since 1975 through 1979.
Yeah.
Wow. It's kind of interesting.
Makes sense to me. Yeah. But just look at the teams who won the last 20, 30 years. It's been the Bulls, the Lakers, the Spurs. Yeah. You're sprinkling the Miami Heat for a couple of runs in there. But, I mean, for the most part, it's been about the same four teams that have won the majority of the last 22 championships.
And Phoenix has not won.
No.
And will not win this season either.
No.
Door might be closed, at least for CP3.
Yeah, window.
This is the question, right?
At least for him individually.
Well, it seems
quiz,
like
hot shot.
Ayton might be, you know.
Well, there's that, too, with this whole contract situation.
Yeah. Bad time for a tantrum.
Yeah.
And post-game, Monty Williams was stern about it and said it was something internal with him only playing 17 minutes.
Isn't everything internal? Like, what does that answer mean?
I think,
you know,
he probably meant to say,
decided we weren't going to play him.
Stop asking. You know?
Yeah, yeah, basically.
Gonna
we're going to handle it internally. I'm not talking about it publicly, is what I'm guessing what he meant to say.
Okay.
But it's definitely puzzling.
I'm going to give you the death stare and tell you that it's not going to happen. You're not going to get this out of me tonight. And DeAndre Ayton didn't speak postgame either. CP3 did.
Yeah.
Devin Booker did. Nothing that insightful, but you did hear, because we were wondering, was Chris Paul hurt? Because
there was a calf injury or something that crept up after the game. I heard that he'd
been
nursing
some sort of. Well, when
Crowder
whipped a guy to the ground on that screen, it looked like he came up holding his hand because he knocked Paul over at the end of game 6 there, where he just discarded the guy. And I was, you know, I remember watching that and thinking, I wonder if this is going to linger. But that was late in game 6 already.
Yeah.
So, and he pretty much fell off a cliff after the first couple games.
Yeah, after game 1 and 2 when he was great, basically it was game 3 where his numbers just took a ginormous dive, like 9 points. I think he was averaging 4 turnovers a game.
I have it. His last 5 games, after turning 37.
Right after turning 37, by the way.
It's like he just hit the wall all of a sudden. It's like his expiration date was there. After turning 37 the last 5 games, he had 27 assists to 22 turnovers, had 20 fouls, and made just 17 buckets.
That will make me want to go back to game 2 and see if something happened or he got tweaked somehow, because you don't just have a precipitous drop like that.
But why don't you start rolling out the excuses then? Because he was fairly, like, I didn't see much of anything in the actual presser. Now, I did see, I was telling Adam, I saw quotes that I don't remember hearing in the presser about being like, well, hopefully I'll come back healthy next year.
He did say that, yes.
At least in the context of the presser, I don't feel like he was deflecting due to injuries.
No.
It seemed like they just kind of owned it. And he even made comments to kind of take the blame away from Monty, who was pretty much trying to take all the blame.
Yeah, he said put it on me, which is great. And I think that's what a leader is supposed to do. But I just know that I read in some post-game notes that I guess he had been nursing a calf injury, which, again, none of us had heard of at all leading up to this point. If anything, I thought he was poised for a huge postseason because usually he does get hurt around this time. But he missed the last, 20-some-odd games of the regular season with a hand injury. I was like, this is probably the freshest he's ever been going into the playoffs in the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah, and yet these two series, they had to grind both of them out.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, this one didn't go their way.
Yeah, but. and the weird part about the back end of this one, as we just mentioned, was he just fell off of a cliff. I have to attribute it to something. Something must have happened in game two from an injury standpoint. Nobody goes, for me, that spectacular to that bad that quickly.
Especially because he dominated at times, especially late in games, the Pelican series.
Right.
Where he absolutely took over. With Devin Booker being out here and there, he was the guy. And I think they always – my biggest gripe with CP3 throughout his entire career is that he was too unselfish, that he should have looked to score more. When you look at how efficient of a player he's been, I don't believe he's ever averaged more than 23 points per game. It's probably even less than that. And he's too good of a player with the mid-range god, the outside shooting. He's typically giving the ball up to lesser players, to more or less efficient players. And it makes no sense. And I understand they call him the point guard, G-A-W-D, and he's an unbelievable passer, and he's a top three point guard of all time to me. It's him, Magic, Steph Curry. Mark Price. He was great. But I got him above Stockton and these guys. Stockton also was frustrating with that, but it was kind of a different era. Like, he was too good of a three-point shooter to not. I think he scored like 30 points in the playoffs one time or something.
Yeah, didn't score enough. Never looked to.
Chris Paul should have, and I think that's to the detriment of his team. He was too unselfish. He was too unselfish, and it hurt his own team. And what he did in the first round gave me hope that, okay, he knows. He has to take over. But this is now the fifth time that he's been up 2-0 in a series, and his team ended up losing. Now, there's context to this. The first one happened in 08 against the Spurs in the second round. Spurs were great, obviously. They ended up winning in seven games. The second one happened against the Memphis Grizzlies with the Clippers in 2013. Well, they lost Blake Griffin. He had that ankle injury he was trying to play through. In 2016, they were up 2-0 against Portland with the Clippers. I don't think he and Blake Griffin played the rest of those four games. They both got hurt in that series. So that I scratched that one off. That means nothing to me.
Oh, the Clippers one meant nothing?
The 20, yeah. Okay. None of the Clippers stuff meant nothing.
Okay. Yeah.
That was the second time.
It was meaningless, and we've moved on.
But the 2021 finals last year, they were up 2-0 in Milwaukee. And he had that bad turnover at the end of game three or game four. I forget which one. He's had – I saw someone say – he's the worst good playoff player in NBA history because his overall numbers are great. And he has had
games.
Great moments.
He has great, yeah. It's crazy to think like I can remember. So even this short run, there's at least two or three games where I think like, oh, he won a stretch where he made eight in a row or 10 points in the fourth quarter. And yet it's always peppered with these games where you're like, oh, what happened?
And he and Booker were so god awful in the first half. I'll give Kobe
credit. 0 for 10 between the two of them.
It was the first time in 153 games together where they both didn't hit a bucket in a half. But
they were 0 for 9? Was that collectively?
And that 9 is what sticks out to me. It's like, you guys didn't even want to shoot. You pulled a James Harden. I'll give Kobe credit for this. Even though he went 6 for 24 in that game 7, and I brought that up a lot over the years, and God rest his soul, but he did not shy away. He kept shooting.
Never stymied his aggressiveness. The two of them joked. I don't know if it was after game two. I think Devin Booker had this crazy night or whatever it was. Oh, actually, it was Chris Paul. It was that night he went like 12 or 13 from the field or whatever it was. And Devin Booker was like, man, you should have shot more. If you were 12 or 13, you should have taken like 5 or 8 more shots.
Yeah.
And it was like, how about you take some of your own advice there, brother? You're the best player or one of the best players between the two of you on the team.
Well,
the team is struggling.
He said last night afterwards, he's like, I'm not just going to take shots when there's eight guys on me. And he's like, I'm going to make the right play.
So he's saying the refs were on him too? Is that what that means?
Basically, I don't know.
Yeah, Scott Foster didn't ref that game.
Scott Foster did not run. I know he was sick for the previous game, game six for Boston and the Milwaukee. And the joke was he saving himself for game seven with Chris Paul?
He was resting.
You can't blame that. I certainly cannot recall Devin Booker being triple teamed nine straight times down the floor, not being able to shoot. I'm sorry.
Booker, he's a guy that I kind of expect dud good game from based on these last 2 years.
Yeah.
He has been very up and down at times.
I do think that clearly cements a difference, though, between a guy who can carry a team and Booker who can carry the scoring. Well, if they don't get any defense, though, even with as horrible as they were shooting last night, I don't know that they would have won that game even if they shot
normal percentages. I mean, the fact that Luka was as unconscious making the shots he was making, and Spencer Dinwiddie came out of nowhere, that's what's made Dallas so good in this postseason run. You don't know where the other guy's going, who the other guy's going to be.
Dinwiddie
and that's what makes him
Brunson
so dangerous.
Yesterday, obviously,
yes,
we're amazing. But Brunson, there's just something about watching him that, coming out of this playoff run, I feel the same way watching Grant Williams in that game seven, where I'm like, man, when you get something like this out of a guy that you don't expect much from over the course of a series, just solid defense and respectable shooting. And Brunson had those spurts where they'd put Luka down for rest, and he would carry him. Wouldn't look overmatched. Paul would be guarding him, and he'd go right at him. And he was aggressive to a point where it was like, okay, he looks the legitimate part of a secondary option here. Mm-hmm. Well, and he's in an offense, obviously, where they don't expect that much because Luka, when he's in the game, he's going to have the ball 90% of the time. But I was really impressed with just Brunson's mentality and how strong he is for such a little guard.
Early on, when Luka wasn't playing in the playoffs, he dropping 40 points or 38-point nights or whatever it was, he is not scared.
No.
To your point, though, of them not being able to stop Dallas, it was a team that looked flat, that looked shook. I mean, Luka met them with 27 points at the half. The Suns had 27 points at the half.
That's wild.
Luka had that. I don't think they hit a shot in the paint. I was tracking this, and they were talking about it early on in the broadcast, so I started to pay attention to it. I don't think they hit a shot in the paint till the 4:18, 4:20 mark of the second quarter when DeAndre Ayton had a dunk. They were missing everything. They looked completely out of sorts and not ready for the moment. It was one of the biggest collapses in a must-win game, really, in the history of sports. I know
the
score
definitely one of the more lopsided game sevens in the history of the sport, for sure. One time, they had a 48-point lead, I think, is as high as it got.
I think that was the biggest
deficit that any team has had in a game seven. I thought I read that.
I read something where Lucas said he didn't remember anything like that, and then the follow-up quote from the writer was, well, of course he didn't, because the last time that happened was 1948 with the Southern Monarchs. And I was like, okay, so clearly this is fairly unprecedented in modern NBA history, that type of blowout by a road team.
It was Seahawks Broncos. It was the only other game in the NBA I could think of. The Bulls beat the Jazz by 40 or something like that. The Jazz only put up 50 something points in 98 in a finals game.
It was I think at the time, probably still is, the lowest scoring output by a team in an NBA final game in the shot clock era.
And yet, though, the Bulls were heavy favorites.
Right,
this was a team that was playing the team with the best record in the league.
Yeah,
and it wasn't a game seven.
And of all the scenarios, people thought that the Suns were going to blow Dallas out. If anything, they said, all right, Eastern Conference final.
Yeah, Stephen A. Smith's comments were,
is that what he
said? They got no chance, blah, blah, blah. He had to walk it back hard.
Wow.
Jason Smith said Devin Booker was going to have 40 and it wasn't even going to be close. He was getting old takes exposed. A lot of people were. But the only other game I can remember that lopsided in the playoffs, and it wasn't a game seven. I think it was game three or four in this series. But it was back in 2009. The Denver Nuggets scored 121 points. The New Orleans Hornets had 63. They lose by 58. Who was on that Hornets team? CP3.
Oof. I don't even remember that one.
I don't either.
I only remember it because it was so crazy.
No.
I don't know who won the series. The Hornets still may have won it. I think Denver did, because they went on to play the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals in 2009. They lost by 58, and CP3 was on that team. And sometimes I thought this happened with the Dodgers a lot, where you look to your leader, and if the pressure is getting to him like it did, it felt like with Kershaw at times, it kind of permeates throughout the locker room or the clubhouse. And I just wonder, when CP3 is playing like that, when Devin Booker's playing like that, for all the other guys to lose their roles when they started their roles, and that team was great because of how they shared the ball and they made guys better around them, and those guys looked
Cam,
to be totally
Crowder,
rocked.
Bridges, I thought Bridges looked more aggressive in the beginning than most of the other guys, but that fell off towards the end of the first half, and by the third quarter, I'm like, man, all three of these guys, who are usually the guys who can help you pile on when things are going good.
Yeah, that's what it
they
is.
They were all gone.
Yeah, I think they felt tight, knowing that it was a home game in Game 7, and Luka came out as hot as he did. And they just – you miss a couple of bunnies, a couple of things, and then you start pressing a little bit. Now, to your point, though, once you figure out that the other guys ain't got it, at what point in time, if you're Devin Booker or Chris Paul, and say, you know what, I got this. This is on me.
And Booker still only
took – he took, what, 13 shots in the entire game?
Yeah.
Something
13
like that?
Or 14 shots.
You can't do that.
I think it was 0-5 at the half. Like, it was already over.
Yeah. Well,
you
had you're
27
down.
Points at the half.
Right. The fact that they didn't make any semblance of a run, it got worse in the third quarter. They never made any sort of semblance of a run as the home team in a game seven. That's the most remarkable part to me.
Well, it goes to kind of show, like, when the whole Porzingis trade happened, seeing the way that, obviously, Dinwiddie was amazing last night.
Exactly.
But the way that they were able to sit Luka down and still get that kind of output
That's
from guys
thing.
To fill those minutes, that was night and day different to me. Like, you didn't fear that the comeback was going to happen then. You were like, my God, Dinwiddie is on fire. At the end of that first half, that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they demoralized them, not just with the scoring, but the type of scoring. When Cam Johnson is going streaking across the court on a slip and slide after Luka crossed him over to end the first half and then stared them all down. With the amount of animosity there was early on in the series between him and Devin Booker, and Luka is just killing them. And they
could
do nothing
about it. Smiling at them while he's doing it, by the way, like a savage.
In the post game, Booker was like, no, there was no talk. Blah, blah, blah. It's like,
oh,
really?
Now
there was no
talk. Remember rewinding back to game one, two, three. You were talking the entire time.
Stealing the ball away from Luka and him calling you a pee and all that.
Yeah.
Like,
that part makes me happy. That's the whole, it's the same reason I hate Crowder and Booker's climbing up the ranks with that all that shit talking.
Luka is, like, dribbling, you know, takes two dribbles inside the line, backs up, and just steps back and shoots a three. Like, that stuff I would do in NBA 2K.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to do that in game seven of a playoff game and splash it in a guy's face.
Turnaround three-pointers, reverse pivot, that type of stuff. I'm like, good God.
Yeah, it's like video game stuff.
That?
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
You can't.
And he started 3 of 3. And he ended up, I think he had 46 in the game 7 against the Clippers last year. But it didn't matter, and he kind of slowed down as games went along. He ended up shooting like 34% in fourth quarters that series against the Clippers. And people were talking about then, wow, they went 7 against the Mavs. They went 6 against them last year. It's like, hey, mother effers, do you see what happens when the Clippers don't have a chance to stop Luka early on in the first round? Now he's in the Western Conference Finals. That's how special this guy is. He's unbelievable.
He's unreal. He's unreal. And it's hard for me. I know that eventually I'll turn on him like everybody else, because there will come a point where he's facing a team that I like, and all the, you know, all the talking and all that will wear me down. But watching a guy who kind of does not look that built just bully people on the block again and again, and seeing how aggressive he is, it's hard not to be like, man, I'm rooting for this guy.
He's LeBron with more range and way less athleticism.
Yeah. Someone compared him to, they said, Larry Bird with better handles. I'm like, oh, you know what? I can kind of see that.
Yeah.
Because he's a below-the-rim player for the most part, gets to his spots whenever he wants to. He's not very flashy at all, but is extremely effective at it.
Yeah.
You know,
he's kind of like he's like Steve Nash at times with the passing and the handles, but he's bigger. Obviously, he's stronger. He's slow plodding.
He's almost like a miniature version of the Joker. Not that he's small, but he's smaller than the Joker is, but kind of in that same ilk. I'm not trying to they're both white, and then Larry Bird is white, but I'm just trying to draw a parallel. Joker is not very aesthetically pleasing with the way that he plays. It can be kind of clunky at times, but he's effective.
Yeah, and he's deceptively strong.
Yes.
That's the thing that keeps – I keep seeing that more and more. I think that's the thing that I find the most impressive about Doncic, is he'll take people to the block.
Right.
Yeah, there's something about these new European players, and I've been saying this for years. When LeBron retires, Luka is going to be the face of the league, and he's a Euro player. But there's something to those guys and just how their game translates to the NBA, and obviously not all of them do. But
right. I mean,
recently,
he's a special case, but still.
We got two of the greatest European players ever in the last 5 years in the league all of a sudden.
Yeah, Yeah. I mean, to have him out there, to have Giannis on the other, you know, on the other coast doing his thing, it's and obviously, that, they're two not really on coasts. They're sort of in the same north, south. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, but when was the other time we had two top five players? You can easily make the argument. And it's tough when you nitpick, but you can argue at least they are in the mix. Two of the top five players in the NBA are European.
That's never been the case.
Right?
Yeah.
During Dirk's entire tenure, I mean, and maybe the last, you know, 8-9 years of his tenure, you can say he was probably like a top five player, but there was no other European player that was in that same ilk with him.
At least once he won in 2011, because there was a lot of doubters, especially after what happened in 07. He was the MVP. They lose in the first round to the We Believe Warriors. But, yeah,
no,
it's never happened. It's crazy. It's just so crazy.
Kind of partly what the NBA probably wants. You want a global game, this sort of thing will happen.
So where do you
it's actually
guys,
not a bad thing.
Where do you guys fall now in terms of the teams left, in terms of your rooting interests specifically, or what you expect to see, even if you don't have a strong rooting interest?
Well, I want the Warriors to lose because I have a bet with my cousins about that, a friendly bet, but also because I think they have benefited. As much as I say the Phoenix Suns benefited last year on their run to the NBA Finals, and then they got exposed up 2-0 against a healthy team with all their superstars, and it happened again this time with just one superstar. The Warriors, to me, with what happened in 2015, every point guard was out against them, including Kyrie in the Finals and Kevin Love. And then they come back, and they blow it up 3-1, and then they have to cry to Kevin Durant to save them from LeBron instead of just redeeming themselves and saying, like, we got to play better. That's all we got to do is play better. We would have won that series.
Guys, just hold them to 35-10-10, and we got another finals MVP coming. Yeah.
That part I really don't care so much about. It's circumstantial, and it certainly has helped them a lot throughout the years. But just I would just like to see some new blood in there. And if I can see Luka Doncic in the NBA Finals on the biggest stage, I think it would be amazing. You know, so I'd be all for that. I want the Heat to win because, first of all, I said that they were a sleeper, which is hard to do when you're a first overall or first seed in the East. But I didn't see a lot of people picking the Miami Heat to make a deep run in the postseason.
I really liked them before the season. Some people here.
We talked about it on this show. I'm not going to call anybody out who said, like,
no, call me out.
Them.
I hate them. I don't believe in them, and I'm hopeful that they'll get their comeuppance.
Yeah,
I hate
the Celtics. So
you know
that goes without
saying.
You
to root for the Celtics? Like, it really would. It would take a lot.
Well, you know what? I did want the Celtics to beat the Nets, so I'll say that. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are not very likable. That was the only time I've ever actually wanted the Celtics to actively win the playoff series.
I don't hate this Celtics squad now outside of Marcus Smart, basically. Oh, and I will say, maybe more than Marcus Smart this playoff series, I hate the absurd amount of illegal screens that Al Horford sets that nobody calls. But as far as my rooting interests, I definitely would be Celtics over Heat. And then I'm fine with either the Warriors or the Mavs.
I would rather hate for the Celtics.
Yeah. I would much rather have the Mavs. I know the Warriors have been to the finals enough times. I mean, they played your Cavaliers every single year for a long period of time. I know they've had some quote-unquote down years the last couple of years missing the playoffs. But I've seen Steph and those guys on the big stage. I want to see Luka.
I'd be happy with either, but the fact that Draymond exists is like, I'm not going to shed any tears if the Warriors get
Well, you know
out.
What? That's
my hate for them has definitely diminished, though, since, you know, since the Raptors beat them, basically.
Yeah, you know, and I'm definitely not the biggest fan of Draymond Green, so if I can see him not win, that would be advantageous for me. So there's another reason. There's another
okay
drop in the Mavs bucket for me.
But to me, it's all three teams above the Heat. I would take any one of them, for sure. Because the Heat, I think the thing I find the most annoying about the Heat is, I've never liked Kyle Lowry, but also the whole Heat culture thing, where they talk about, you know, well, this is a friend. It's like, you've just brought in great outside players and had a bunch of success. And,
good
fits, I mean,
though.
They drafted Bam. That's great. They drafted Wade. That's great.
Hero,
but
Duncan
to act
Robinson.
Like, well, those guys haven't won a title yet. What I'm saying is during that era where they won with LeBron and Bosh, it's like, all right, you brought in LeBron and Bosh. Good work. When
well,
you brought in Shaq,
hearing,
good work. But
you know. Heat culture then, though. It's been like the last couple of years, like a
it's
rising
been about,
tide
it's
raises
been about
all
three
boats.
Years.
Like,
it's been about the last 3 years or so.
I feel like it's been ever since LeBron left. That was their way of trying to be like, we're still a brand. You know, just come here for the Heat culture. It wasn't about LeBron. Yeah. You know, that's not why we won two titles.
It's I think it's somewhat annoying, but there is also some truth to it because I do think they bring in those like-minded
No, you know what
players.
It is? There's a no-income tax culture. That's what it is.
It certainly helps.
Stop telling me about the culture of the organization when the reality is it's South Beach and it's no state income tax.
Yeah, because it's not like they've won consistently the same way, I don't know if you can, over the last 25 years or so. The Zoe, you know, Heat were different than the Shaq and Wade Heat, which were different than the Big Three Heat, which are different than the Heat now.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree. But again, the only really consistent winning there came during the Dwayne Wade era. And the, well, and Wade, with LeBron and Bosh.
Yeah.
Like, Wade, even when Wade was by himself,
right,
that was
Shaq,
a great team. But it wasn't like some transcendent dynasty until they rolled in that trio.
Well, and they brought, by the way, even for that title run, look at the mercenaries they brought in. Yeah, Shaq and Gary Payton.
Jay Will, yo.
Jason Jay Will and all these guys that they just cobbled together.
Antoine Walker's fat ass.
Antoine Walker banking in threes.
We're all a little chubby.
What are you talking about?
So this may be a crazy thought, but I think we have to do it because her name was brought up a lot last night on Twitter. She is the resident Phoenix Suns fan here at AM570, maybe here in Southern California altogether. But Bree Bree, I mean, she's in a bad spot right now because she's talked about it more than anyone how they would have beat the Clippers last year, and she's pushed back against the narrative that if other teams were healthy, the Suns wouldn't even have made the finals and had a chance to blow a 2-0 lead. And now you see what happens when they face a relatively healthy team that – I don't think anyone expected to beat them, and they do so in that fashion on Phoenix's home court with all the trash their fans have been talking for a long time.
That's like the most epic way to lose a playoff series.
Is.
That's the worst way you could possibly lose. It's one thing to get your ass handed to you on the road. That this happens to a lot of teams, but like that,
they've been home,
see,
a home
game. I sympathize with her on the – I hate getting sucked into debates on hypotheticals. Mm. Like –
if so-and-so were healthy and if this and that.
Oh, well, if we had blah, blah, blah. Because that, if Draymond played in game, you know, like that whole thing. It's like,
well, he had 6 and 7. Like, I don't feel bad.
I know. But again, I didn't even want to go down that road because
it's
like, that's always what people do when it's like, okay, well, this didn't go 100% my way for everything. And they ignore the fact that it doesn't for any team. There's always things along the way that didn't happen.
But there's been an inordinate amount of things it feels like with the Phoenix Suns last year. It was just so crazy.
You know what? I'm not totally with you on that.
Okay.
Because I feel like this is just the culture we live in now where it's like, the Lakers win a title. It's not a good enough title because it was in the bubble. People just find ways to diminish any success
and
you have.
I agree with that.
Everything.
Everything's over-scrutinized, of course.
Yeah. Because now it's like, I can't help but wonder. I'm like, well, what are they going to tear Luka down with now? Mm-hmm. Like, what wasn't – or even Giannis, what we just said earlier in the podcast.
Correct.
It's like, well, you didn't do good enough, despite the fact that he was a monster this series. The Celtics just were the better team over the course of 7 games.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like looking at it that way with the Sun stuff where it's like, yeah, sure, could have things happened differently the last couple of years? Absolutely. But the ones I'd get more fixated on are, well, you know, we could have had Doncic over Ayton, not the individual games that went different ways because players on different squads were hurt or whatever.
I guess my thing is it depends on the humility from their fan base. And if they're willing to at least accept
fair.
A little bit of, yeah, we were fortunate.
Do you think their fan base is that awful, though?
As a whole?
I think a couple of their players
I don't know their fan base that well.
Neither do I, to be honest.
Yeah.
I know
Bree.
I've seen some
fan
tweets.
That I know.
And
well,
I thought
Bree
took the
high
road last night.
I didn't even know about this. So was there I could have imagined, but there was a giant Twitter tiff.
No,
did you guys
really.
Go after
I thought
each other
she
again?
Was like, oh, I don't can't defend this. I didn't feel like she
did
was
she?
Trying to
okay.
drag out. And I felt like Eric was trying to, you know.
Oh, the Duke?
Yeah.
Yeah, stir things up.
But
take out a sword.
I thought probably because it was such a massive blowout that she just took it on the chin. Like, she didn't try to defend it.
Yeah,
it's like,
she
what
also
can
said,
you say?
Like, last year had nothing to do with this year. But it's like, well, no, you've been arguing. I mean, first of all, the team won 64 games. They're supposedly way better than they were last season. They did improve on the margins. I don't think you could just say, well, this has nothing to do with last year after the way she's been talking for 2 years.
I probably have just missed a lot of the – if she's been shit-talking about the last year.
About that, yeah, because generally speaking, I know what happened last year has nothing to do with this year. But if you're harping on that to try to compare it to this season, well, the way your team petered out, I mean
– yeah.
My whole thing is there's enough pain for her to soak in right now anyway. That's like, well, we don't even need to go back to that other one. She has to sit with like a 50-point loss for the next 5 months.
Yeah. Can we call her? Can we at least try? I don't know if she's going to pick up.
Yeah,
I know
working,
she's
actually.
Expecting us. We typically
she
do call her.
She probably took a day off, Kev.
Yeah. She's in a coma. She typically
still
gets
drunk.
A call from us when her teams lose in epic fashion. Like when the Rams got the benefit of that call against the Saints in the championship game. She's a huge Saints fan as well. We called her last year during the NBA Finals after they lost. So this is tradition in a way. It's... It's what we do. We're not just trying to rub it in.
No, hey, listen, I'm all for it. I'm just saying.
We're doing our part here. This is what the listeners want to hear. She usually swears, too. Bree bombs.
A lot.
Come on, Bree. You want to do it. You want to do it. Just do it. Pick it up. Pick it up. Hey, Bree, you're on the FNA podcast. How are you?
Give me a quick sec. Hi, this is Brianna, transferring home health. Hi, this is Brianna. How can I help you?
Well, we're trying to help you. No, we're not.
I'm walking out of the office. Thank you for your patience.
Bob Schmidt is with us, by the way, at the NBA roundtable.
She's still in work mode right now. She's like, please hold. As soon as she gets out of the...
God, she's laughing.
She's like, F you and your mother... that's what's coming next.
Alrighty, I'm getting into... I have a little pod over here in the WeWork area. Alrighty, you guys. Wow, are you kidding already? I didn't even get like a fucking day to simmer or reflect or kind of get my shit together. I get a call like less than 12 hours later.
And this is the reason we wanted to get into it while the wound was still fresh, because you're already swearing with us. So, Bree, the question all the listeners want to know is, have you been humbled at all?
All the listeners? I think that's a, excuse me, I'm gonna go back. The question that Adam would like to know is, have you been humbled?
I crowdsourced this.
Are you fucking kidding me? Talking about being humbled? That's the question? Like, you don't think the Suns fans are just as, like, shocked at, well, I guess, and nobody's shocked, right? Only Suns fans and, like, Suns players are shocked with how shitty they looked? That's bullshit. If you want to focus on last year, Adam, go write in your fucking journal and move on from that side. But this year was completely separate, so I hope that's...
Wait. Bree. This wasn't a continuation, the way you've talked about it all season long, of last year. They weren't building off of last year. They weren't going to learn from last year. Come on. This is connected to last year. Am I wrong?
Well, it sucks because it's the same personnel, so it's like it's hard to kind of like discredit that part of like, but I'm not talking about it being a fluke though. That's my issue with it.
You don't
it.
Think this proves last year was a fluke at all? They ran into a team in the Mavericks who had Luka Doncic. They had their stars, and they beat you.
Bob,
when you
were what's
up
your opinion
all.
On this? I've heard Adam's take like so many fucking times.
I kind of want opposite Adam. I think everything's, you know, I just don't like the whole, oh, well, if we had these guys or these guys angle, because literally it diminishes every accomplishment that anyone ever achieves.
Yeah, for me, a fluke would have been they won 48 games and snuck into the playoffs and, like, you know, that's...
But wait a second, Kevin. You said the Lakers would have beat them if they were healthy last year.
I do agree. I do believe that. I do believe that, yes.
But again...
We said it.
It's one thing to say that. It's another to be like, well, they weren't healthy. And if you look at the Lakers roster, can we really act like it's an anomaly that they weren't healthy? That's like a regular occurrence with them. So to fix it, it's like the whole Draymond kick the guy in the dick thing.
Right.
It's like, oh, well, if he wasn't suspended, how many times has he kicked somebody in the balls or made a cheap shot? It's like we can't act like that's a deflector for what actually happened, because
the history shows us
it's going to happen.
But it doesn't make it impressive to me that you're beating teams without superstars. And then you're like, no, this is totally legit.
That's last year, though. I'm talking about this year. Can we focus on this year, what just happened? Who cares about last year?
Well,
they won 64 games this year. That has nothing to do with injuries and shit. Who cares about Jamal Murray being out this year and Kawhi being out this year? The Clippers still overperformed for what they had.
So you don't think the fact that the two times they faced teams healthy in the last two playoff runs and they lost has anything to do with one? You don't think there's correlation there?
No, I think they got cocky, and I think the Pelicans and the Mavericks just overperformed way better and they showed up better than the Suns did. I think the Suns got cocky. I think the Suns were tired. There's so many things you can look back on and be like, okay, load management could have been an issue. Chris Paul is so fucking old, and this was my issue with him even coming to the Suns. And I will say this: the Kool-Aid.
You did say that when they first traded for him.
This is a fact.
Yes, and I drank the Kool-Aid. I was so excited. I was like, you know what? I have a fucking chance. We have a chance. Everything's fine. Blah 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 blah. And then I just turned around. Just always go with your gut. This is a life lesson.
Now,
go
where do you fall
gut.
On ultimate glue guy, Jay Crowder, Bree?
Oh my. I noticed
last night he wasn't able to pull everyone together to overcome the adversity.
You know what, Mikal? Mikal Bridges wasn't able to pull everyone together. Cam Johnson looked like a fucking Bambi. DeAndre Ayton, oh my God.
What do you think happens with that, Bree? We have, like, do you, I mean, I'm sure you saw that he didn't comment post game and going
into
this.
Is it internal enough that Bree can't talk about it either?
I don't know. I just, it's like some guys just have it and some guys just don't. I think Chris Paul is trying so hard to get it out of him and be like, hey, man, you can do this and you can be this and you can do this. But if Chris Paul isn't going to play and actually show up, why, if I'm DeAndre Ayton, I'm going to look at that and be like, well, what the fuck? Why aren't you showing up? Why the fuck should I show up if I'm, you know, a millennial, like, asshole like Ayton? No offense, but, like, in a sense of, like, I'm good, I'm solid, but I can just get my stats and play on fucking Indiana next year and who cares, you know? I mean, I don't know what heart he has in it.
Move
it
over, Jalen Smith.
Say that.
No offense to yourself there as a millennial.
So I'm just, I'm like, there's a scene in Fever Pitch, and I hope I'm not rambling, but, like, there's a scene in Fever Pitch where Jimmy Fallon and his friends are super depressed, and, like, Johnny Damon and a few other guys walk in, and they're having dinner, and it's just, I mean, it's a regular season game. And more might have been postseason, I don't remember, but they're, like, the fans are super depressed, but, like, the players are fucking millionaires, and they're going to go home, and I had to, like, really reflect. This year, the first time I reflected, I'm like, perspective. Like, I'm to bitch and cry and bitch and moan, but I'm like, I don't even have a house with air conditioning, and all these fuckers have, like, million-dollar houses with air conditioning, and it's just like, oh, my God, what the fuck am I being sad about? But I'm fucking sad. I mean, I'm a loser, but
does
whatever.
Oh, man, God. I stuffed all Jesus over that. Brie. Damn it.
That's why we called.
Yeah. Bree, does it make it any easier that it was such a drubbing? Like, I mean, I got to assume this is better than
I agree. I use myself as an example there because when the Raiders made the Super Bowl in 2002 in San Diego, and I so thankful that I did not spend my savings at the time, which was not much, to go to San Diego for that Super Bowl. They got their asses kicked by the Buccaneers, and I've always told myself I'd rather lose that way than lose the way they lost, say, against the Patriots the year before in the Tuck Rule.
Like
game.
The Panthers versus the Patriots.
I'd much rather get my ass
heartbreaking.
Kicked.
Heartbreaking.
Ron Artest, 2010, penny loss.
Yeah.
That was
the Kobe airball Artest layup when the Suns and Lakers played in the conference finals. Yes.
I cried. I was hysterically crying. And my Facebook was being blown up with a bunch of Laker fans writing on my wall about how the Suns were, like, just stupid and you're a Suns fan. What the fuck? Oh, my God. It was that was the Western Conference Finals, right?
It was.
That was before they went on to play Boston?
Correct.
Oh, yeah. You didn't cry yesterday?
I did not.
Because you're, they almost just kind of ripped the Band-Aid off.
Yeah, it's almost like you're in a state of shock. You can't even cry. It's like, damn, really?
I was like, what the fuck happened? I feel like I need Botox because my eyes are like, my whole, like, my forehead is just scrunched up. And like, what the fuck happened? Like, what the fuck happened? That was, like, not the same team. I just don't know. It's just flabbergasted.
But, you know, you live in the right area, so there's a lot of doctors that can help you with that. There, if you need it, you know what I mean?
Last one for me.
I got a hydration yesterday. There you I did go. Get some needles pop.
Is that a colonoscopy or a rinse thing? Yeah. Is
Dr. Adam over here. No wonder your show got canceled.
I'm not a doctor. I just play one. Is the window closed, Bree? Are you that down?
No.
Hey, how are Booker and Ayton going to get over a loss like this, though? I know CP3 is almost done.
It's like, it's a matter of their fucking, like, legacy now. That's what, like, bothers me. I'm like, you guys have to, like, rewrite that. You have to actually go out and, like, prove yourselves and do better and fucking rewrite that whole legacy and just change it. That, like, narrative of, like, oh, wow, the Suns are going to just blow every 2-0 opportunity, you know? Especially Chris Paul, which sucks because, like, there's 5 of those, right? 5 2-0 leads that he's blown.
Yeah.
Adam did a good job
through the context.
Yeah, Adam did a good job of running down a couple
Adam,
of them
so basically the Clippers ones don't count.
No. If he's not playing and they're up 2-0, okay. How can you count that against him? He and Blake were out the rest of the series.
He was still part of the team, I don't care. But, like, yeah, so I just, like, I don't know. I just hope hope that they have enough time that they're young, that they can rewrite that, that there can be, like, a whole new.
They can.
Well, most of them are. Everybody except Chris, you know.
Booker and Ayton are 25 and 23.
Yeah. Now you're assuming Ayton stays. There was a contract issued before the season started that hasn't been resolved, and then last night ends the way that it ends. Who knows? But I know Robert Sarver, the one who does not have the deepest pockets, or at least operates like he doesn't, did say that he planned on spending whatever was necessary for to keep all the stars together.
I think they're going to get Ayton at a discount because, again, I think teams are going to be scared that they're going to match and they won't offer nearly what – I mean, I guess somebody could throw a full max at him, but I don't expect it.
No. Bree, I'm sorry, again, what happened to your Suns. But, hey, football football season's still only a few months away, right? So they got the Saints.
Yeah, Drew Brees is coming
you
back.
And Jameis, right?
Oh, my God, I don't even want to think about that right now.
You see the Drew Brees
I can't deal with crab. Yeah.
Hey, well, Drew, yeah, he's not working at NBC anymore. Maybe he can come back to the Saints.
Anyways, this has been a really great conversation. Definitely a therapeutic, Bob. I think you made it a little more fun for me. Probably would have hurt a little bit more if you weren't there.
Bob, can you leave so it hurts more?
Bree, thank you for stepping away from your job for so we can – I mean, basically,
I hope that person still
basically
got help.
Have Adam try to make fun of you. Basically, is what this was.
No,
so.
I just want answers.
Yeah, I hope he feels really good about that. So I hope
he's smiling.
He's smiling. Yeah,
yeah.
Looks like Luca in the post game presser right now.
I'm Luca staring at Devin Booker.
Thank you, Bree.
Okay, have a good day, guys.
All right,
bye.
You too. We'll talk to you.
Right. Well done.
Yes.
All right.
And Bob, thank you for coming in too, by the way.
Yeah,
brother.
Of course, man. It's fun.
We ran out of time. We'll get to Geek News later in the week. We'll get to your Talk As Hotline phone
yep.
calls. Maybe you can react to what Bree just said. I know Eric Sklar, the Duke of Sports, was not holding back on Twitter.
I'm not surprised.
Now, he did wait till the buzzer sounded.
And it does take some balls as a Laker fan to talk trash to anybody about anything right now.
Especially going into the summer. I was thinking that when I was reading his tweets. I'm like, Who's going to have a worse summer?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Is it going to be Lakers fans or Suns fans?
I read Sam Amick this morning saying, like, the Lakers are asking their candidates, Russell Westbrook, how would you use him? Basically alluding to the fact that they're probably not trading him. Yeah. So have fun with that, Eric.
Well, thanks again, Bob.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
At Voice Bob on Twitter is where you can find him, where he never tweets.
Sorry to the listeners. We took a week off. It's my fault. Yes. It had nothing to do with Kevin's wedding.
Stuff comes
congrats
up, it's
again.
All right. Thank you.
What an amazing day.
I appreciate
it. It was perfect. Speaking of the Suns, the sun coming out at the perfect time during the ceremony, that was amazing.
Yeah.
That was as fortuitous as the Suns getting all those injuries on their way to the finals.
Well, thank you both for coming. It was a fun time. I'm glad you guys both enjoyed yourselves. So I appreciate the both of you.
Amazing.
Yeah, great.
Thank you guys for listening. As Adam mentioned, at Follow Adam A on Twitter, at KFig1 on Twitter, at FNA Show, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We will be back later this week with another edition of the FNA Podcast. We'll get to your voicemails and some geek news then. Take it easy.
Now you've had enough, bitch.